The ride-sharing giant Uber is set to go public this week, and with many expecting the company to be valued at upwards of $90 billion, this could be one of the biggest initial public offerings in recent memory. And that means a lot of people are looking to make a serious amount of money once Uber stock becomes available on the New York Stock Exchange. But while investors in Silicon Valley and beyond are getting ready to celebrate Uber's IPO, many of the drivers for the ride-hailing company are upset over pay and treatment, and they have been for some time. So in some cities across the country today, drivers for Uber, as well as for their smaller competitor Lyft, are striking, hoping to bring awareness to their working conditions on the eve of Uber's historic IPO. And we asked you, our listeners, if you've had experience driving for Uber or Lyft.
My name is Pauline Cooper. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. I drive for Uber and Lyft. I've got something like 2,000 rides in. I started out doing 40 to 60 hours a week with Uber and Lyft. Now I'm down to maybe 25.
Pauline doesn't drive in a city that's planning a big strike today, but she does echo the frustrations that many drivers experience while trying to make money with ride-hailing apps.
Uber and Lyft, unfortunately, depend on desperate people with no other recourse. Both of these companies' goals is to make everything automated with no humans involved and to keep costs down. And it's very apparent when you're the driver trying to use the cheapest software on earth to direct you somewhere and it doesn't work. Sometimes you've done a trip and it doesn't show up on your trip sheet and you didn't get paid for it. So you call to say that and you end up an hour and a half on the phone with someone who doesn't understand you and doing what they hope you will do, you say, you know what, never mind, and you don't get paid.
There's already a yawning gap between executives at the top and the drivers who make ride-hailing businesses possible, and it's about to get a lot bigger. So let's talk about it. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Andrew Hawkins is following Uber closely, and he's a senior reporter covering transportation at The Verge. Andrew, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
So Uber's planning on going public with a big IPO this week. What are the basics here? How long has this been in coming?
This is probably about a decade in the making, honestly. Uber's been around for, you know, over that period of time, and they have stayed private for much longer than companies traditionally would of that size. And they're a part of this sort of unicorn class of companies that have been valued at, you know, privately at over $1 billion. And it's going to be pretty big. It's I guess that's probably underselling it. But this is going to be about the biggest IPO since Facebook, since Alibaba. Wow. I mean, it's going to be pretty huge.
Now, we know that Uber's smaller competitor Lyft went public in March, but that did not go as planned, right? I mean, what were some of the hiccups that they experienced?
Well, they came in at a certain valuation. They started selling stock. And then pretty quickly, soon after, the stock started going down, and it's pretty clear that that stock was overvalued. Lyft now is just posted its first earnings report just yesterday, and they reported that they've lost $1.1 billion in that first quarter, which is much more than they had been losing previous to that, and it's about on par with what Uber loses on per quarter, and Lyft is much smaller than Uber, so that's a pretty shocking number to see.
Is Uber, I would imagine, given what you just said about Lyft's earnings coming out yesterday, Uber executives are probably trying to figure out a lesson from this. Is there anything they can learn from what happened with Lyft?
Yeah, I think they're probably going to take a more conservative approach to their IPO. It was reported that Uber was going to try to come in at a $120 billion valuation. Now they're coming in at a $91 billion valuation. I mean, this is, you know,
billions and billions
of dollars still, but a significant difference. So it seems that they're going to try to take a little bit more of a measured approach to their IPO, knowing what happened to Lyft is likely to happen to them as well. We saw it also that when Lyft, after they went public, their stock was starting to get shorted. People were betting against their stock. And so a scenario is likely to happen with Uber as well.
Now, we talked a little bit about the yawning gap between the executives and the drivers, and we're going to get into the drivers in a minute. But who really is going to benefit from this IPO? Do we have specifics in terms of who's investing in this? Like, who do you think?
Yeah, it's the early investors. So that includes companies like Google, Jeff Bezos was a big early investor in Uber. He stands to make a lot of money. And obviously, you've got Travis Kalanick, who was the founder and CEO of Uber, was ousted in 2017 during sort of the series of scandals that hit the company. But he still has a significant stake in Uber and is likely to make something like $9 billion or something ridiculous like that. In addition to that, you've seen some of the latest investors include companies like SoftBank, which is a huge Japanese technology company, and they invest in a lot of transportation companies lately. And then you've got companies like Benchmark, which is a venture capital firm. They were a big early supporter of Uber, big early investor, and they're probably going to make something like $7 billion off of a $100 million investment that they originally made.
So a lot of people are standing to make a lot of money, billions with a B here. What about the drivers?
Yeah, the drivers, not so much. Mm. Not so much. You know, it's been a long-term problem for Uber with its drivers. They are not employees. They're freelancers. They're independent contractors. And as such, they are not entitled to receive shares in the company as other employees would, as the software engineers and the marketing folks and all those people that work for Uber at the headquarters in San Francisco. So as independent contractors, they are sort of left in this sort of limbo of space. Uber's trying to address that. They've created this sort of cash pool that they plan on handing out to some drivers to buy into the IPO at the IPO price. That's sort of determined by how many trips you've done, by what sort of driver you are. Are you a loyal driver? Do you drive pretty much exclusively for Uber? Have you done a lot of trips? Do you have a high rating? If so, Uber might give you $100. $500, maybe even up to $10,000 to buy into this IPO. It's not going to affect the broad swath of drivers, I don't think. I mean, we're talking millions of people here, but there are probably a small chunk that will stand to benefit from that program.
Given that what we just talked about, and one of our caller at the top of the segment, Pauline, is not going on strike today, but she did mention something that I think is interesting. She said that she's concerned that Uber and Lyft, I guess to a smaller extent, are trying to automate the process. Is that on the horizon? Is that something that drivers should be concerned about?
Yeah, I think I think it is on the horizon, and it is something that Uber is spending a lot of money on. It's a pretty costly program that they have in terms of developing autonomous vehicles with the intention of, you know, eventually removing the driver from the equation. And this is something that they've talked about for years. I mean, when Travis Kalanick was the CEO, he talked about it as an existential problem that Uber was facing, that they were a deeply unprofitable company, and that the only way that they were ever going to make money off of their business was to take the driver out and to have self-driving cars perform all the trips. Now, as we've seen with this technology over the last year or so, it's going to be a lot slower going than I think people initially thought. There was this accident, or I guess you should call it a fatal crash in Tempe, Arizona in 2018, where a self-driving Uber car ran over a 49-year-old woman and killed her. And that was a huge setback for Uber, a huge setback for the industry. So it doesn't seem likely that the driver will be taken out of the cars in the near future. But it is something that, you know, is probably maybe a decade away, or maybe a little bit longer than that.
So given the fact that there is this concern about automation, that drivers are sort of, you know, in between whether they're employees or not employees, and in this case they're not, they're going on strike today. Lots of drivers in big cities around the country are going on a two-hour strike this morning. What is it that they want?
So they want better wages. They want living wages. They want better working conditions. They want think about this way. Their boss is an algorithm. And as such, they lack a human connection to anyone else at Uber. It's sort of a disconnect there between the driver and the company. And they feel that they are sort of left to sort of struggle on their own, and they don't really have anyone looking out for them. And that means that occasionally a driver will get deactivated from the platform. They're not allowed to drive on Uber anymore because of some issue. Maybe they have a low rating or they cancel too many rides. It's not clear to them. And they lack recourse to address these issues. So that's a big deal that they have. Uber's trying to address that, but it hasn't been very systemic. And they're leaving a lot of people to fall through the gaps. And I think that that the strike is meant to address that amongst earnings and all sorts of other things as well.
And of course, there was also a strike when Lyft went public. How did that work out?
Well, I think that sort of came and went, and it was much smaller. Lyft is much smaller than Uber. So as such, there was only really a smattering of protests and striking drivers in California, I think it was. So I don't think it really had much of an impact. I think, you need to wonder whether or not this one will have an impact too. So before I came into the studio today, I checked the Uber app and I saw that I could still get a car in 3 minutes. So it's not as if the strike is impacting Uber's business. Drivers are so diffuse. They're spread out. They're not as organized as they can be. And that's due to the fact that they don't have this classification as employees. They can't form a union to collectively bargain with Uber. And as such, they're sort of more joining these advocacy groups, Independent Drivers Guild and the Taxi Workers Alliance. It's hit or miss for them, I think, in terms of how they can organize and band together collectively to actually force Uber to make changes.
Why can't Uber turn a profit?
So
we spend lots of money on these ride sharing apps. Drivers are not making the money that they say they should make. What's going on?
So Uber loses money on every trip it performs, and that's because it's a heavily subsidized business. They spend money on the driver's side. It's a two-sided market. They spend money on the driver's side, so they're incentivizing drivers to stay on the platform because, you know, very easily they could go on to Lyft, they can go on to Juno, they can go on to Via. They're not required to be just driving for one platform. So they have to spend a lot to incentivize drivers to stay on their platform. That's cash bonuses and all these sort of gamification elements that are in Uber's app. And then on the driver's side, or on the rider's side, they have to spend on that side too. So riders are not spending the actual amount. When they pay for their Uber trip, that's not the actual amount that they're paying. The Uber is losing money on that. They're having to come in and subsidize that as well. So, it's not clear that they can make money in the near term. They have said as much to the SEC in their filing that they don't anticipate being profitable anytime soon. They're a growth company. They talk about, you know, the need to spend lots of money in order to achieve this market share that they have and to compete with their competitors. There's a low barrier of entry to come into the ride sharing industry. And as such, it's a very fiercely competitive business. They need to buy out their competitors, essentially. Maybe they'll buy out Lyft at some point. Maybe that will reduce some of their losses. But it's not going to be happening in the near term at all.
And we'll see what investors have to say about that. Andrew Hawkins is a senior reporter covering transportation at The Verge. Andrew, thank you.
Absolutely.
And we reached out to Uber and Lyft for comment. Uber has yet to respond, but Lyft told us that their drivers' hourly earnings have increased over the last 2 years, and they've earned more than $10 billion on the Lyft platform.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.